Today, here come the cockroaches, stagflation city ahead. Hi, Guinness Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and probably news. This is our weekly market update. We'll be starting the US, across to Europe and Asia, and in Australia. We cover commodities and crypto along the way. Financial and tech stocks were hit hard by a handful of persistent investor worries on Friday, with US stocks suffering their largest monthly percentage decline in a year, weighed down by persistent concerns about high valuations and the disruptive forces of AI, while the potential for oil supply disruptions due to tensions between the US and Iran lifted crude prices. Market sentiment was weakened as investors worried about the broader impact of artificial intelligence on technology companies, even after AI chipmaker Nvidia posted better than expected results. Shares in Nvidia, the world's most valuable company, were down 4.16%, extending losses from the prior session. Michael Burry warned Nvidia's balance sheet is flashing dot-com era red flags. The Big Short investor says this is not business as usual. This is risk. And a hotter than expected producer price index reading fortified expectations that the US Federal Reserve is unlikely to cut its key interest rate in the near term. Last October, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon used a cockroaches analogy to warn of hidden mounting risks in the private credit and banking sectors, suggesting the initial signs of bad loans indicate a larger concealed problem. He stated, "When you see one cockroach, there's probably more," following defaults at companies like Tricolor Holdings. A lingering concern about the hundreds of billions of dollars earmarked for artificial intelligence and private equity's ability to help fund it, and whether AI itself is poised to destroy the profitability of an ever-widening array of businesses, caused financial stocks to be hammered this week, with the KPW Nasdaq Bank Index 4.9% lower. Markets were betting on a flare-up in Iran as well as reacting to the latest signs of emerging stagflation in the US, seeking safe havens, gold, the US dollar, and US treasuries were all in vogue. And yes, we now know kinetic action is underway as Israel and the US launched strikes on Iran on Saturday, with the political retaliation and confusion about the military objectives and legality of the strikes. Oil has gone up and will likely go higher on the news. But it is still worth remembering that we are touching all-time market highs. MSCI's All-Country World Index fell 0.24% on Friday, but was up 0.36% for the week, and nearly 0.637% higher across February. Europe's Stoxx 600 added 0.11% on Friday, while the All Asia excluding Japan was up 0.56% for the week and up, wait for it, 44% over the past year. The Australian share market recorded its biggest monthly rise in 10 months, with the ASX 200 up 0.3% to 9,198. That's a record close. And the index rose 3.7% in February, marking a third consecutive monthly gain and its strongest rise since May. But Wall Street ended lower, with the benchmark S&P 500 dropping 0.43%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling 1.05%, and the Nasdaq Composite off by 0.92%. Now, new credit issues remind us that credit cycles have not been eliminated. Goldman Sachs and Citigroup were among the biggest losers in the final session of the month in New York after the collapse of UK mortgage firm Market Financial Solutions revived private credit market anxieties. Some creditors of MFS warned there may be up to £930 million worth of shortfalls in collateral backing their loans, as Zircon Bridging and Amber Bridging forced MFS into a UK form of insolvency this week, accusing the London-based firm of using the same assets as collateral for multiple loans. As a result, Goldman Sachs slumped 7.5%, Morgan Stanley was down 6.2%, Citi dropped 5.2%, Bank of America lost 4.7%, and JP Morgan sank 1.9%. They all lend big into the private credit sector. And the problem is guilt by association and the concern that a private lender is flooded with redemption requests. All 23 members of the KPW index slid, with losses at Zions Bancorp, Wells Fargo and KeyCorp each topping 6%. UBS raised its worst case default forecast for private credit to 15%, up from 30% just last month. The catalyst they're pointing to is AI disruption among corporate borrowers, particularly software companies. They say technology is essentially vulnerable to disruption by AI. Amazon, SoftBank and Nvidia, though, have agreed to invest $110 billion in OpenAI, bolstering its costly push to secure more computing power and talent. The post-funding round valuation of the ChatGPT maker now tops $1 trillion. That news, though, failed to help Nvidia, which lost 4.2%, Apple lost 3.2%, and Microsoft slid 2.2%. And Block provided the latest jolt, despite a strong rise, when it cut nearly half its workforce in the latest sign that AI may threaten the livelihoods of a broad swathe of professionals. The biggest blow came from a new model released last week by Anthropic that aims at automating financial research and legal services, triggering sell-offs in those stocks. And Zscaler plunged 12.2% after the cloud security firm reported a wider net loss in the second quarter. One bright spot, though, was Netflix. It surged 13.8% after it walked away from Warner Brothers Discovery, after Warner Brothers determined that Paramount's Skydance latest proposal constitutes a superior offer under the terms of its existing merger agreement with the streaming giant. We're always being disciplined, and at the price required to match Paramount Skydance's latest offer, the deal is no longer financially attractive, so we are declining to match the Paramount Skydance bid, Netflix co-CEOs Ted Sarandos and Greg Peters said in a statement. Elsewhere, Dell shot up 21.9% after the PC maker says it expects revenue from its key AI-orientated server businesses to double in the fiscal year 2027 and promised to return more cash to shareholders. US sentiment also was hurt by the January US Producer Prices Index report that showed inflation running hotter than expected to start the year, potentially complicating the path to lower interest rates. The US PPI came in at 2.9% versus an expected 2.6%, and US core PPI came in at 3.6%. That's the highest level in 11 months. This is a clear sign that US inflation is actually heating up again. And meantime, the fourth quarter US GDP came in at a measly 1.4%. That's the worst print in three quarters. So it means the economy is potentially shrinking while inflation is heating up, which of course is what stagflation is, and suggests the Fed is completely trapped now and nothing good will happen without, well, breaking the economy somewhere first. And the US housing market just reached the most unaffordable point ever. It was worse than back in 2008. The median US home now costs around $415,000, while 5 years ago it was just $270,000. That's a 54% jump. Wages over the same period only rose by about 29%, and that gap now is a real problem. Mortgage rates are the second punch. They went up from 2.7% to about 6.3% in 5 years, which means monthly payments have crushed even more before prices fully reset. To qualify for a mortgage on a median-priced home today, you'd need around $120,000 in household income, but the median household makes around $80,000. So nearly 75% of homes on the market are unaffordable for the average American family, 3 out of 4. Because housing doesn't break when prices instantly crash, it breaks when buyers quietly disappear and volumes start to die first. And that's exactly what the latest data is showing now. Pending home sales just fell to the lowest level ever recorded. That means demand for homes is now weaker than it was back in 2008. And elsewhere, The US job market is experiencing one of the worst downturns in decades. Actually, the crazy part is that during his State of Union address, Trump actually said that we have the best economy in the history of our country. And MAGA loyalists were jumping from their seats to applaud this. But data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the agency of Trump's own government, by the way, shows that we are facing one of the weakest job markets in decades. Compared to the millions of jobs created before Trump became president, only 181,000 were added in 2025. Meanwhile, US population grew by nearly 2 million. Oh, and shares of US loans in delinquency are at the highest since 2017. As bank credit expands, it creates more deposits and upward pressure on the value of assets. And as asset prices rise, cash flows must increase to defend the new high asset prices. Short of a productivity miracle, therefore, inflation, meaning higher output prices, is clearly the next step. So yes, stagflation, it has a whiff about it now. The yield on the US 10-year note fell below 4%, though, before the PPI data was released, as factory prices are soaring and businesses will find out later how the new 10% across-the-board tariffs proposed by the Trump administration will affect prices in the future. The yield on the benchmark US 10-year note was last at 3.942%, and the 2-year note fell to 3.383%. The dollar index that measures the greenback against the basket of currencies was down just a little to 97.65. And US crude rose 2.78% to settle at $67.02 a barrel, while Brent settled up 2.45% to $73.67. Sounds inflationary to me. Incidentally, this year's dispersion has been historic. The equal weight S&P 500 is having its best monthly performance versus the market cap index since 2009, while the Mag 7 are down more than 7% since last October. The equal weight index keeps, well, hitting records. Over in Europe, the euro-US dollar rose 0.14% to 1.1818 against the dollar, with a single currency showing a monthly loss of just over 0.2% amid expectations that the European Central Bank will keep rates steady for months to come. The yield on the benchmark German 10-year Bund fell slightly to 2.644%, and the number of unemployed people in Germany rose slightly in February, gaining 1,000 to 2.977 million in February, as the economic weakness of the past 3 years continues to weigh on the jobs market in Europe's biggest economy. French consumer prices rose more than expected in February, climbing 1.1% year on year, a sign of acceleration after they slowed to their lowest in more than 5 years, just in January. European stocks traded in a mixed fashion on Friday, actually, as investors adjusted more regional corporate earnings, as well as the key inflation data at the end of a busy week. The DAX index in Germany traded 0.1% higher. The CAC 40 in France slipped 0.5%. Over half of Stock 600 companies have now reported fourth quarter results, and European earnings are running slightly ahead of expectations, which pushed the broader index to all-time highs on Thursday. Swiss Re posted record annual net income of $4.76 billion. That's a 47% jump from a year earlier. But the Swiss reinsurer's life and health reinsurance unit missed its earnings target after a $650 million assumption update change from underperforming portfolios in Australia, Israel, and South Korea. BASF reported a 9.5% drop in full-year earnings, with its core chemicals business nearly breaking even in the fourth quarter, as the German chemicals giant relied heavily on capital expenditure cuts to boost free cash flow. And over in the UK, Prime Minister Keir Starmer's Labour Party suffered an embarrassing election defeat on Thursday, losing one of the safest seats to the left-wing Green Party. This puts further pressure on Starmer to prove that he should keep his job following weeks of political turmoil and calls for him to resign. Yet British stocks rose to another record high on Friday, mainly supported by gains in mining shares. The blue chip FTSE rose 0.6% to 10,922, closing in on the 11,000 mark. And the pound US dollar fell 0.2% against the dollar to 1.3489. Rathbones Group posted a 4.6% rise in underlying profit for 2025 and extended its share buyback program by up to £20 million on Friday, sending shares up more than 5%. The British wealth manager said cost synergies from its Investec wealth and investment acquisition had exceeded targets. Rightmove PLC announced a £90 million share buyback as Britain's largest property portal reported a 9% rise in full-year revenue that matched analyst expectations. That sent shares up more than 5% in a market that has sold off the stock heavily since November. The other listed company said revenue rose to £425.1 million in the year and to the end of December 2025 from £389 million a year earlier. Against the company, compiled consensus of about £213.2 million for the second half alone. Pearson's PLC traded unchanged after the British Education Company reported a full-year result in line with forecasts and a push to position itself as a beneficiary of artificial intelligence-driven demand for skills training left the market, well, frankly, unmoved. International Airlines Group reported annual profit above expectation on Friday, helped by lower fuel costs and demand for its transatlantic routes, particularly in premium cabins. The parent of British Airways saw its adjusted operating profit rise 3.5% to €5.02 billion, beating the €4.97 billion expected by analysts. Revenue rose 3.5% over year, €33.21 billion, up from €32.1 billion in 2024, but shares dropped over 7%. UBS has maintained its neutral position on UK equities, citing limited fundamental improvements despite the market's momentum in early 2026. UK equities have benefited from a sector rotation into more capital-intensive businesses, driven partly by investor concerns over AI disruption. In Asia, most Asian stocks fell on Friday, with technology shares tracking overnight winners in their Wall Street peers, although exchanges in South Korea and Japan did head for strong gains in February. South Korea's KOSPI was the worst performer in Asia on Friday, falling as much as 2% from recent record highs in some declines in tech. Chip makers Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix fell 0.9% and 2.6% respectively, and falling, of course, from record highs. But index heavyweight Hyundai Motors was an outperformer, rising 2.5% to a record high after it agreed to invest about 9 trillion won or $6.26 billion in, guess what, an artificial intelligence data center and robot factory in the country. The KOSPI has been a major beneficiary of AI-linked hype, with a bulk of its tech and industrial constituents viewed as potential winners from the nascent technology. The index rose nearly 20% this month and was by far the best performer in Asia. Japan's Nikkei 225 fell 0.2% on losses in local tech shares, while the broader TOPIX did manage to jump just 0.8%. Consumer price index data from Tokyo showed inflation in Japan's central cooled in February, with core inflation also falling below the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. Core CPI, which excludes volatile fresh foods, grew 1.8%, slightly ahead of forecast of 1.7%, but well below the 2% rise seen in the prior month. The lower print was probably driven chiefly by the Prime Minister's subsidies, especially those aimed at curbing utility prices. This in turn provides less impetus to the Bank of Japan to raise interest rates further, especially with core inflation trending below the central bank's annual target. The US dollar Japanese yen rate fell 0.1% to 156.07, but the pair was still up 0.8% in February, with the Japanese currency struggling as markets question the fiscal impact of the Prime Minister's stimulus and tax break plans. Broader Asian markets were a bit of a mixed bag on Friday. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 fell 0.5%, while the Shanghai Composite Index was flat, with both indices having clocked a muted performance in February. The US dollar yuan traded 0.3% higher to 6.8582 after the People's Bank of China scrapped a key foreign exchange risk ratio for some forward contracts, a move that allows for cheaper dollar buying in the country. This came following a strong rally by the yuan against the dollar in recent months, driven in part by exporters dumping the greenback on a strong trade surplus with the US. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index rose 0.7% on Friday, with internet major Baidu rising 1%, even as its fourth quarter earnings largely underwhelmed. The Hang Seng was trading down about 3.2% in February, hit by losses in local technology shares as markets feared increased disruption from AI. India's Nifty 50 index fell 1.25% as deep losses in local tech shares on AI fears were somewhat offset by some strength in industrials and manufacturing sectors, which stand to benefit from an AI data center build-out in India. Now, the Australian share market recorded its biggest monthly rise in 10 months, capping a volatile reporting season that ended with Coles shares falling sharply after the supermarket giant reported a weaker than expected first half result. The ASX 200 added 0.3% to 9,198.6. That's a record close. The benchmark traded in a narrow band as investors adjusted the final round of earnings updates. The index rose 3.7% in February, marking its third consecutive monthly gain and its strongest rise since May. Consumer staples lagged and Coles tumbled 7.4% to $20.56 after reporting softer supermarket sales growth than rival Woolworths, particularly in liquor. Woolworths fell 1% to $36 in a burst of profit-taking after Wednesday saw its biggest one-day gain on record. Communication services led gains, with REA Group up 3.6% to $106.39. Materials stocks lifted after MP Materials signed an enormous rare earth supply contract with an unidentified car maker, and Linus Rare Earths rallied 10.1% to $18.98, and Iluka Resources climbed 9.1% to $6.75. Block surged 27.8% to $94.15, the biggest riser on the ASX 200, after the Square and Afterpay owner said it would cut 4,000 of its 10,000 staff. The company reported gross profits up 17% to $10.36 billion for 2025. And Bapcor slumped 49.3% to 87 cents after resuming trade following a heavily discounted capital raising at 6 cents a share. Citi downgraded the stock to sell and cut its earnings per share forecast by up to 45%, citing ongoing execution risks. Harvey Norman dropped 9% to $5.76 after first half results showed weaker Australian sales, offsetting stronger international performance. The retail also narrowly missed expectations on its interim dividend. TPG Telecom fell 2.7% to $3.74, despite returning to profit, reporting net profit of $52 million for the half. Subscriber trends were mixed as competition intensified in mobile. Virgin Australia slipped 0.3% to $3.14 after statutory profit fell 27.9% to $341 million, reflecting a higher tax expense. City analyst Samuel Seow said the airline was prioritizing margins over growth. PEXA climbed 4.9%. PEXA climbed 4.7% to $14.98 after reporting core profit of $21 million, nearly double the consensus expectations, with the Australian division EBITDA margins rising to 58%. Humm gained 5.3% to 70 cents after agreeing to form a new committee, excluding Chairman Andrew Abercrombie, to assess a $385 million takeover bid following investor complaints to the takeover panel over potential insider trading. Banks were down from recent highs, with CBA at $174.62, NAB was at $49.02, ANZ at $40.04, and Westpac at $42.54, after reports of mortgage fraud hit the street, with CBA saying they reported a $1 billion worth in fraudulent mortgage applications enabled by AI. Oops. Is that the tip of the iceberg, we ask? And Macquarie was last at $213.48. The Aussie dollar, US dollar climbed 0.2% to 71.16 US cents, with the Aussie dollar up over 2% this month, aided chiefly by an increasingly hawkish outlook from the Reserve Bank. And it was also at 52.76 British pence. ANZ and Morgan inflation expectations have remained high so far in 2026, averaging 5.4% over the first 7 weeks, and were at 5.2% for the week of February the 16th to the 22nd. down just a little, 0.3 percentage points from the full month of January. Yes, inflation is a big thing, as I discussed recently in my shows. Over on crypto, Bitcoin slipped on Friday with the largest cryptocurrency heading for a fifth consecutive month of deep declines. Broader crypto prices also largely dithered in tandem with Bitcoin and were also set for sharp declines in February as retail and institutional investors steered clear of the sector. Bitcoin fell 6.42% to 63,971 and was down nearly 24% over the past month as a risk-off move in crypto showed few signs of easing through the month. Heightened global geopolitical tensions, uncertainty over the world's biggest economies, plus fear of more disruption from US trade tariffs kept investors largely averse towards speculative assets such as crypto. Crypto had fallen as much as 50% from its October record high this month, although it did recover marginally from those lows. But Bitcoin has really remained on a persistent losing streak since October, with buy action by major corporate holder Strategy doing little to offset losses. Strategy was also seen tapering its pace of Bitcoin buying in recent months amid growing concerns that a slide in Bitcoin's price could pressure the company into selling some of its holdings to meet debt obligations. Shares of Mara Holdings, formerly Marathon Digital, rose nearly 6% on Friday after the Bitcoin miner announced a deal with Starwood Capital to convert some of its mining sites into, wait for it, artificial intelligence data centers. The AI agreement largely overshadowed a $1.7 billion fourth quarter loss from the company as it grappled with a prolonged decline in Bitcoin prices, which made its mining operations deeply unprofitable. Revenue also fell short of estimates, and weakness in Bitcoin, coupled with increasing hype over AI, saw the Mara attempt to pivot into using its computing resources to operate AI data centers instead of crypto mining operations in recent months. We're going to see more of this ahead, I think. Broader crypto prices largely fell on Friday after a short-lived rebound this week and was set for deep losses in February too. World number two crypto Ether fell 8.36% to 1,864, down over 21% of the month. And Ether was hit especially hard when the founder, Vitalik Buterin, offloaded more of his holdings in the token, a move that provided more risk-off clues for the market. And finally, it's worth noting that artificial intelligence is likely to become a meaningful macro force over time, although the timing of any labor market disruption remains highly uncertain, according to Citi. While we think that AI may well eventually lead to higher unemployment and deflation, the timing is very unclear, they said. This uncertainty points to a dovish policy bias, with Citi saying risks are skewed towards lower Fed funds rather than higher ones. Looking ahead, the team warns that implementation frictions, including regulation, corporate adoption hurdles, and energy constraints, are likely to slow the real-world pace of displacement. Although AI capabilities may improve exponentially, the strategists believe deployment across companies will be much more linear, delaying macro effects. Energy constraints also remain a key brake on AI adoption, they said, and they argue with current supply levels, it would not be possible to replace a significant part of global white-collar work with AI. As long as this bottleneck persists, they believe there will continue to be demand for human labor. Over time, however, efficiency gains and investment in the energy system could ease the constraint. But the strategists say the process will probably take time. And in the longer term, the team sees a scenario where strong productivity gains coexist with job losses and falling prices, particularly if income gains from AI remain highly concentrated and captured by a relatively small AI elite. Under that backdrop, they argue central banks should retain a dovish bias over time. Oh, and by the way, cross-country exposure varies wildly, they say. Citi flagged the US and the UK as among the most vulnerable developed markets due to their high share of white-collar service employment. In emerging markets, Israel, South Korea, and Central and Eastern Europe appear more exposed too. Oh, and meantime, in the near term, the Iran conflict will spook markets ahead. and continue the crazy ride as those cockroaches come out to play. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.